Hey everyone, Adam D. from In Defense of Ska here. A little note before we start the show. Los Angeles is dealing with multiple catastrophic fires. A lot of people have lost their homes and are in need. If you're able to help, please do so. There are a lot of great organizations you can donate to, like California Fire Foundation, Pasadena Humane Society, Mutual Aid LA, and there's even a list of people in the music industry that have lost their homes. Links are in the show notes for our Rob Harvilla episode. Thanks.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I like your wall with the prints and everything on it. It's very cool.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the episode in the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. That way you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week, 3 a week, just like this one, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us anywhere you get podcasts from. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the series a rating, leave a review while you're at it as well. Had some fantastic guests on lately, including Ashton Irwin from 5 Seconds of Summer, Sabrina Carpenter, Fran Healy of the band Travis, Kylie Cantrell, she's starring in Descendants, The Rise of Red, Mark Oliver Everett from the band Eels, 21 Pilots, Annabeth Gish, starring in Ride and Pretty Little Liars, Anthony Michael Hall, not in the Brat Pack documentary, but he is in Trigger Warning on Netflix, Kurtwood Smith, playing once again Red on that 90s show, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, actress Chloe Coleman. She has had a very busy decade in movies like Gunpowder Milkshake, 65, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves, and My Spy, which was her first major motion picture in 2020. She's back in the sequel, My Spy, The Eternal City. It once again finds her, along with David Bautista, as the spy comedy duo. Chloe's going to tell us what it was like to return to the character nearly 5 years later, seeing herself grow up from script to script, taking on more of an action role and the preparation that that came along with, and the music she used to develop Sophie with songs from Queen, No Doubts, the B-52s, and Katrina and the Waves. We'll also get to hear about what it's like working with Christian Schaal, Ken Jeong, and Anna Faris, who are all also in the movie, what it was like shooting in Italy, the environmental activism she found in Cape Town, and how she would love to see the series rounded out as a trilogy. All that and more, we're talking My Spy, The Eternal City. It's Kyle Meredith with Chloe Coleman.
Hello. Hello, hello.
So here you are. It's been, what, 4 years now since the original? Is that about right?
I want to say 4 or 5, because I was 10 when we finished, and I'm 15 now, and I'll be 16 in November. So I want to say like a good 5 years it's been.
Like the original, like that was that your first major picture?
I think that was my first major film I did, and I look back on it now and it's crazy to me to see how young I was, because at the time I filmed it, I was like, oh, I look so old and cool. And now I'm like, wow, I look like a tiny, tiny, tiny girl.
What's that like though? Because you know, you've obviously had these roles since then, and you've done some great movies since then.
Thank
I
you.
saw Painkiller last year. That was loved everybody in that one.
Thank
And
you.
yeah, but to now to embody this character that sort of more or less started it all for you. I mean, is there anything sort of psychological that goes along with that?
I think the interesting thing is that when I first did this movie, Sophie was a 10-year-old girl, and she was in a whole different world than she is in the second film. And I think it's interesting because I've never had to really to age up a character before with so much detail. So when I heard we were doing the second one, I was like, okay, how do we approach this? Because I never really imagined Sophie as a teenager, and I'm also a teen, so I'm like, okay, what kind of parallels are there that I can use, and what can we look at here? So I read the script, and like, okay, like I like this, she's awesome, and I'm like, it was bittersweet because she's older now, like she went from being this little girl, and now she's in high school. So I started by making mood boards on Pinterest, which I think is one of the most helpful things to do, is to visualize everything. So I'm like, what does she kind of feel like? What does her clothes look like? Her room? Like, let's set up an environment for her. So I did that, and I shared it with Pete and Wardrobe, Pete Siegel, our director, and I shared it with Wardrobe and set design, so we could all kind of be like, let's design a room and see what she looks like. And I also made a music playlist for her, which just like, it's kind of like developing full rounded, like what kind of music does she listen to? Like, who is this girl? And figuring out who she is as a teenager. Because, you know, I wanted to keep that authentic, like sassy sarcasm from the first movie, but also make her older now. It was cool. I really enjoyed it. First sequel, and it was really fun.
Yeah, I've got to ask what's on the playlist.
I think I have a My Spy 2 playlist. I have Under Pressure from Queen. I have Just a Girl by No Doubt. We have some older music. We have Freedom 90 Remastered, Love Shack, Walking on Sunshine. I think the thing I like about Sophie is that she's really colorful and old-fashioned, and she has this cool Parisian vibe to her because she's from Paris originally. So it was just stuff like that to get me in this upbeat mood, because we're also doing stunts, like literally every day. So that kind of music helps me get pumped up. And so before I'd be listening to the playlist, I'm like, okay, let's go do this. Like, I have to, if I'm not feeling confident, like it doesn't come out as well. So I really like getting to rehearse what I'm getting to do stunt wise, and then just go and do it. And it's super fun. The stunt part of it was definitely one of my favorite parts because it was newer. I love doing martial arts and stunt fighting. It's so cool to me, just choreographing it all. And like from day one, when I knew nothing about wushu or American karate or anything, and to see the growth is, I'm so proud of it, and I'm so glad I learned it as a skill.
Yeah, that's you know, we see that in the very first scene, right from the very first scene, this dream sequence, like, oh, she's an action star now. She gets to be an action star in this movie. And that's, you know, probably a pretty obvious growth point for the story, considering what the first movie was. Like, did you know that going into it? Like hearing that there's going to be a sequel, was it like obvious? You're going, oh, this is the time that I get to do that.
That's what I was hoping for, and when I read it, I was like, I went to Pete. I'm like, Pete, you made me look awesome. Like, you made me look so cool. He gave me all this awesome stuff to do. So immediately we hopped on it, and I spent like about like a year, 8 months prepping everything. Like martial arts, I got right on that. I did skydive simulation training. I got scuba certified when I was in Cape Town while we were filming. I rode a Vespa for the first time, which was insane to me because I haven't even driven a car yet. And you know what? It was just awesome. It was so cool. I think that's what makes it so fun, is I feel really connected to the character when I'm doing these stunts that she's doing. Like, I really feel like that badass Sophie. That's what I like about it.
Have you used much of that since the movie shot? Like, do you continue with any kind of martial art training?
Yeah, I took a little break afterwards, but I definitely want to keep the skills going, because I think for future I'd love to do more action work and more action films, because I just love doing my own stunts. So I want to keep upping my skills and do everything I can so that I'm at my best physical best physical self.
If only I had it, like one of the luxuries I think of what you do, anybody in your position. If I had the time and the reason, would I? I'd like to think that I would take that opportunity, or would I just still veg out and listen to music? I don't know, but I'm envious that you get those talents and traits.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Chloe Coleman. Seeing as you were talking about the growth within Sophie and everything that's happening within the story. So you've got the action side, and then we've got this. It's sort of like a Pretty in Pink scenario happening a little bit. You know, she likes the popular boy, but the geeky guy likes her, you know, this whole situation.
Whole triangle thing going
right
on.
And with what you and Batista have going on, and you what's going like could you talk about what's happening there? Because now you all are in this situation where you have to decide what your relationship is.
I think it's really interesting that there's two different there's a difference in the dynamic between the first and the second film. I think the reason that Sophie loves JJ so much in the first film is because she doesn't have anybody else aside from her mom, or she doesn't have friends. She's bullied. And so she feels in a way kind of like a loser. And then JJ walks into her life and completely changes it. And she feels empowered because he's showing her what it's like to be a spy, and she's finding something that she can love. And so he is like her whole world. And so when she gets taken away from him in the first film, it's like, I had this moment to enjoy, and now he's gone. And it's heartbreaking to her. And so she will really do anything it takes to get him back because of how much she loves him. And then it's different in the second film because now she does have friends. And now she's starting to go to high school and have a life and find passions like choir. And she's wanting to spend her time. She doesn't really, at first, she doesn't want to be as much of a spy anymore. She's like, I want to expand. I want this space, which is what a lot of teenagers do when they reach that age, is like, I want independence. I want space. I can do it myself. I don't need help. And which it really isn't true. And because they feel like they can do everything. Not true. I learned it myself. But it's sad to see, like, because JJ is literally taken so much of his work. He's developed his life around Sophie because he wants to be her father. Like, he even says, he's like, I want to walk her down the aisle one day. So he cares for her so much. And so it hurts him every time that she's taking a step back. And she's like, I want more space. And she's like, I want to do this. And so it's, they're kind of working through that relationship. And what's cool is, really, even though we have all this action, all this cool stuff going on, at the end of the day, it's about their dynamic as they become closer again and realize how much they really need each other and how much they love each other. And I think it's so special at the end of the movie where we come back to that closing point. And like, through a cool thing from the first movie is the pinky promise. And through the whole movie, they don't do that until the very end. And she's like, I promise you, like, I love you. Like, I think it's just, I think it's such a sweet moment. I love the growth that they have through the second film, and I think people are going to find it relatable and emotional to watch.
And luckily, with some levity and comedy thrown in there. I mean,
yes,
the kissing talk,
funny.
The kissing
Yes.
talk is.
Oh my God, that scene is so funny. Kristen is so funny. I had so much. We have so many takes of that scene. Actually, she's just hilarious. She would just keep saying stuff, and I was just like, inside, I'm like, where. She's so talented. I'm like, where is this coming from? It was hilarious. I love that.
Are you able to keep the straight face the whole time? I mean, can you shut it off?
I think I can for the most part. I think inside I'm kind of squirming. Like, this is such a weird conversation. But I think I use it a little bit in the scene to help. It's just Sophie kind of looking at her like, okay, whatever you say, Bobby. I love their dynamic. I think it's really cute. I think sometimes they kind of bicker over Dave a little bit. If that makes sense. Like, Bobby wants to be JJ's right hand man, and then Sophie's also there, and she gets all this attention from JJ, and Bobby's like, oh, but I want to do the cool spy stuff too. I think that's funny.
It is like the caliber of cast, and Ken Jeong on here, Like,
yes.
I hope you don't mind the big generic question, but what's that relate? What, like, your actual working relationship? Because I've heard so much about him on sets and just like what you see is what you get with Ken.
He's so great. Like, he's so funny. And everyone in this cast is awesome to be around, especially Ken. I got to spend way more time with him this movie. I had scenes with everybody, really. But he's just hilarious. And he brings so much to the table. And so does Craig and Anna and Flula. I love being around them. Every day on set was so fun, no matter what we were doing. They just make it the best.
On location, you mentioned Cape Town.
Yes.
Did you also do some in Italy? Or was it all
yes,
in Cape
Town? Yes. Yeah. No, yeah, we went to Italy.
Yeah.
I remember Pete was like, we're going to shoot in Italy. And I'm like, really? Like, we're going to Italy? I'm like, okay, I'm in. Like, let's do it. I knew nothing about Cape Town really until I went and I fell in love with it. We stayed there for a couple months. I went an extra month in advance to do more stunt work and just prepping while we were there. And it's so cool. Like, it's the people there are great, and they create in these studios. They have these huge facades. Like, they're so talented, seriously. It made working so fun. And then Italy, I mean, I think it's self-explanatory. Absolutely beautiful. Like, our base camp was literally in the middle of Rome, and it was just every day was so cool there. It felt like I just loved it. And we shot at the Colosseum completely empty, which was such a surreal moment. I was inside, and I stand, and I'm just looking around, and I'm like, whoa. Like, it feels like I'm going back in time.
So I spent a little bit of time in Italy, and I was thinking about that while I was thinking about this interview, and what my thought was, every time I ate something, it was the best version of that I ever ate. Or, you know, and every time I did say it was like the best version of that I ever experienced. There's something about that.
I think I still dream about the food from Italy. It's so good. Like, every night we just go out and have a different dish. Definitely expanded my palate. I'm surprised I didn't gain 10 pounds. I ate so much. Oh, it was delicious.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Chloe Coleman. You posted a video while you guys were in Cape Town with the plastic bottles and the environmental activism.
Yes.
Yeah, well, could you talk a bit about that? Because I thought that was really interesting. Like, you're taking that opportunity, even though you're working and you're busy, like, you still have those moments.
I think the coolest thing you can do is, even when you're working, it's so important to give back, especially in the environment that you're working in. We went out to these townships where it's called Mossy Creative Hub. And what they do is they're repurposing plastic to use for gardening purposes, to give back to their communities. It gives different homes gardening systems. It's super helpful. And I think it stuck out to me because plastic is such a big problem worldwide. And, you know, we are like, what do we really do with all this plastic we have? And so I think it's such a smart way to repurpose it in a way that you can use it to give back and create food and use it in such a good way. And I'm like, I feel like this is really important. Why don't we raise money for this? Why don't we do something about it? And we highlight it and show like what these people are doing, because it's really smart. Like, they would create these huge bricks out of condensed plastic to build homes. And it's like, it blows my mind how cool that is. And I think it's something that needs to be shared. And I'm really glad we raised about $10,000 to donate back to the community. And I was really proud. I did it with our producer, Chris Bender, and it was a great experience. Really eye-opening.
Yeah. Is that like a new venture for you? I mean, have you always been interested in environmental activism?
I think I come to understand it more as I grow up. I'm really big on single-use plastic because, like, if I really think about it, like, how much we use in a day, like, I think I'm really big on nature. I love being outside. And I love protecting our planet. I'm always looking for ways to give back and see what I can do to contribute to the community.
I love hearing that. I love seeing that video up there. So this has now got to be a trilogy, right? Like, it has to be. Like, it has to be.
I agree with you. I think you have to finish it off with a good three.
If Why you not? Do two, you have to do three.
Yeah.
I know that's for other people.
You're already there. So
yeah. Right. Just pull it into the drive. That's all you got to do at this point. That's outside of that, I also saw the She Kills Monsters. You've been doing some theater?
Yes, I would. Oh my God. I've watched so many shows at Pantages and Broadway growing up, and I was always like so interested, and I never really tried it until I got into high school. And I wanted to be home for my entire ninth grade year. I'm like, I'm not going to work. I'm just going to be here. I'm going to do school. I'm going to be a high schooler. And then I went and I still did the musical and the play. And I'm like, well, I guess I just can't. I just guess I want to keep acting and I can't help myself. She Kills Monsters was such a great play with such a meaningful story. And I love doing theater because of the audience aspect. That to me, so much fun. I remember during rehearsals when we didn't have an audience, I was like kind of in my head about it. I'm like, oh, like this doesn't feel funny. Like I wonder how people are gonna react. And the second you put the audience in, so fun. And I love being like a part of the stage. Like you feel so involved. I love that it's live. It's the coolest. I'm looking forward to next year.
Yeah, that energy that you get from the stage. That's why a lot of, the whole thing, what actors want to be rock stars and rock stars want to be actors. There's something about that energy, just a reciprocal energy. I can't wait to see what else you pull off on that, because that looked like a cool experience. In the meantime, this was such a fun movie with the new MindSpy, The Eternal. So congratulations on it again. Chloe, thanks so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
My thanks to Chloe, MindSpy, The Eternal City is out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can find us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating. Leave a review while you're at it as well. Then after that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from The Who, Canned Heat, Reverend Horton Heat, Suzanne Vega, Janet Jackson, Beyoncé, Suki Waterhouse, Pretenders, Sonic Youth, Nico, Old 97s, Twin Peaks, Shannon and the Clams, Nillarfer Yanya, Desiree, Alanis Morissette, Cassandra Lewis, and my interview with country star Carly Pearce. Again, just an example of what you can hear when you tune in every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I watched Purple Rain with him. I was a little I don't remember how old I was, but I think I was a little shocked.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.